Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees Podcast. We are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, but real about love.
As we do every week, it is time for our I Do, I'm Done segment. And in this segment, we basically share things that we've seen, read, heard, even thought about. I guess that we're saying I do to or that I'm done to. So let's get right to it. So this week, I am saying I do to being a phenomenal Black woman. In honor of International Women's Day, you know, I just want to give a shout out to all the Black women. First of all, okay, women who are not Black who happen to listen to this podcast, thank you so much. But I'm a Black woman, so I'm shouting out other Black women because, hey, that's what we do on here. So right. I want to thank all the Black women who are out here doing their thing and, you know, making it happen, whether it's culturally, whether it is, you know, in the political arena, in the entertainment industry, you know, I just want to give props and thanks and gratitude to the Beyonce, you know, to the Cicely Tyson, to the Aretha Franklin, to the Mae Jemison, to the Henrietta Lacks, you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, yes. Name them, Sister Shari.
Names, okay, yes. To the Oprahs, to the Kamala Harrises, okay, to the yes. Stacey Abrams, you know, Michelle Obama. Thank you guys. Thank you.
To the Sharis, to the Sharices.
Yes, you know. So, hey, Black woman out here doing your thing every day. And let me just say, I think sometimes we do make it seem like you have to do something like so significant to feel like you matter. And I just want to put this out here. Listen, we are still working in a pandemic. Just you waking up and deciding to live your life and go about your day with some joy, even just sometimes you may not even have no joy, but just putting it in your mind, like, you know what, I'm going to go out here today and I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm going to be the best that I can be. That's it. You're still a phenomenal Black woman. Okay. I see you.
Oh, yes.
I salute you. I'm saying I do to us.
That's oh, it. Yes. That was good, Shari. That was so
thanks,
good.
Sister Charisse.
And it's unfortunate that I'm going to follow up with an I'm done.
Man. Oh, man.
Usually we're on the same page, but this week I am done.
Oh, well, you know
what I've done?
We can't be on the same page. It can't always
be. You're right.
So what
but
are you saying
I'm not done with being a phenomenal Black woman, but I
you can
am
never
done.
Be done with that.
I'm not done with that, but I am partially done with adulting, okay? I would like to submit my resignation, and I want to be part-time. Now, I don't like this full-time thing. It's not working out for me. I can do part-time where I can go where I want to go, do what I want to do, say what I want to say.
Do the right thing with your friends.
Right. But when it comes to making like major life decisions or, you know, being a mom to a teenager or paying bills, I'm done. I'm done. I want out.
You said I want out. Like, listen, hey, I'm only going to be able to put in 20 hours this week of adulting.
Right.
Maybe next week I can go full time, but this week I need about 20 hours.
Man, we did not know how we had it made as children and teenagers. Like, of course, everybody goes through their, oh, woe is me. I hate my life. Mm-hmm. I'm a kid. Nobody will let me do anything, but we really had it made. Not a worry, not a real worry or real care. No. Okay. People, they were feeding us, paying our bills, and making a lot of our decisions for us.
Yeah. We didn't have to worry about that. We really didn't.
We didn't have to worry about it.
You know what? And our parents tried to tell us.
they tried to tell us, and I try to tell my boy in there, like, come on, slow down, enjoy this time in your life where you don't have as much responsibility. Drive slow, homie.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like that's one of those things where all of us, every single human being, I believe, is just like, mm-hmm. nah, I'm ready to grow up.
I mean, yeah, there are pros and cons, but yeah. sometimes those cons outweigh those pros. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, enough. Take me back to 95.
To the good old days.
Right.
We are officially so, yeah. old.
For real. Officially.
Right. Saying it so, right yeah, here. Let's timestamp it. We're old. It's okay though. We still it. Got it.
Yeah. And we still look good.
We still look good.
Well, that's my I'm done for the week.
When we come back, we will be joined by a very special guest, so stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, you can use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes. We are back and we have a really special guest with us today. Her name is Stephanie Lyons, and Charisse and I actually know Stephanie through our friend Faith, who was on a recent episode of ours. And so Stephanie is a wife, she's a mom, she's a financial services professional, but I can't really introduce Stephanie like Stephanie can introduce Stephanie. So I'm going to let Stephanie tell us and tell you guys more about her. So go ahead, Stephanie. First of all, welcome, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here to share on your podcast. So for everyone listening, my name is Stephanie Lyons. As Shari said, I'm a wife and a mom. I live in Chicago. I've been working in financial services industry for almost 20 years now, primarily in banking and commercial banking. And I recently started my financial coaching business where I work with women to help them to master their money and develop financial confidence. And I'm really enjoying it. I work with women to help them with the basics of creating a budget and paying off debt and savings and really making plans for their life. So super happy to be here today.
Well, we're super happy to have you. Yes, I think yeah, what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, super relevant for the times, because I think I mentioned this on a podcast episode earlier, but with people being in such close quarters nowadays, the reality is some couples aren't making it, you know, right. And so during this pandemic and during the time of quarantine, some couples are kind of deciding to go their own way. And so this is part of the reason too that we wanted to have you on, because us, Charisse and I, being, you know, divorcees, we know what it's like to be single and having to navigate finances, and just again, overall, it's a really important topic. So again, so glad you're here.
It is. I agree. With so many people being together all day, they're realizing like, wait, this might not work. So right. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an important conversation.
So yeah. You mentioned your business that you started, your financial coaching business. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Like why you started it, what the mission is?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that. So it has a non-traditional name. It's called Masterpiece Financial Coaching. And it's based on the scripture, Ephesians 2:10, that says you are God's masterpiece created to do good works. And so what I have learned over the last couple of years is that finances can be so sensitive. And so many people hold emotions of shame, fear, and regret attached to their finances. And we know that those don't really serve, right? They don't help, and they can prevent you from really doing good works, whatever those things are that you need to do in your life. So I work with a lot of women on first addressing your mindset. So recognizing and really forgiving yourself for any financial mistakes, recognizing that wherever you are today, let's just make a plan to move forward, and then really adapting basic personal finance practices into their everyday lives, like creating a budget, knowing how much you actually spend, looking at your credit and really kind of working through those things, because a lot of times it's avoidance. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to deal with it. And so that's really what I focus on. And I started it during the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Because the pandemic brought out, of course, if you were in a bad financial situation, mm-hmm. or if you lost your job during the pandemic, a lot of people were hurting. So I just started having conversations on social media and talking to people about saving money. And that's how it evolved to today.
Wow. Awesome. I love it.
Yeah,
it is. So I want to ask, like, how did you get involved in like the finance industry? Like, what about that was like, man, I'm passionate about this. Like, I think this is what I want to do.
You know, I was always a numbers person. And I remember being a kid and we would go on car rides and I would do math equations looking at license plates. I would look at cars and be like, such a nerd, right? I was just, math was my strong suit. They say everybody has their thing. I was never good at art. I was okay in science. I was always great in math. So I knew that I wanted to do something in the math thing. It was just my strength. So that's kind of how it evolved. And I initially thought that I wanted to be an investment banker. So many of my internships were, and my first job out of college was, you know, in that investment bank field. But then I realized I wasn't passionate about that piece of it. There were long hours, but I still have always kind of worked in finances, and but it stems back to, I was always kind of that numbers person. I didn't know at the time that that's where I was going to go with it, but that's how I landed in financial services.
That's amazing, because numbers give me a headache.
And so, right. But like, I have friends that are just so creative. And sometimes I'm like, how'd you come up with that? My brain doesn't work like that. But if you give me like an equation, I'm like, okay, let's figure that out. So, so weird. I know. It's just.
Right. We got Stephanie Lyons, a member of the Hidden Figures organization.
You would be like, oh, that life is so funny. It is hilarious. But I guess everybody has their little thing. So.
That is so funny. Oh, my gosh.
So you mentioned teaching women the basics in finances, which is actually a great segue into what we'll be talking about today as far as preparing your finances after divorce. I was talking to a friend last week who, she had been married to her husband for probably like 15 years. And when she divorced, she said she didn't know how to do anything as far as finances. Like, not even write a check. So I know you have some tips for us. So we want to just jump right in.
Absolutely. And I want to start off by saying that while I am married, I'm a product of divorce. So I completely understand how the impact of divorce can really rock your world, especially if you're really not prepared for it. And many of us aren't, right? And there's the emotional piece of it. And you know, making peace with the dissolution of a marriage, which is like a death. And then there is the business piece. So when my parents divorced, I observed my mother having to completely rebuild, and she wasn't prepared for it. And, you know, as an adult, she talks about some of those things now and how the separation really impacted. So I really think it's important to talk to women about just empowering themselves, right? It doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom, you making sure that you have knowledge and that you're involved in the finances. Mm-hmm. or if you're a professional, right? So the tips that I'll share are going to be relevant to both of them. But even if you're considering a divorce, it's an emotional time for you and your family, but you have to treat it like a business deal. So you have to start to think about it like that and develop your team. So you'll have a therapist, right? And you need to be able to talk to your therapist and unload there. And then you need to have your attorney, and you may need to have a financial advisor and someone that can really work with you through the financial piece of it, and maybe someone that specializes in divorce. So for me, I'm a certified financial education instructor and a financial coach, so I can work through budgets. But there are specific things with divorce settlements where you may want to speak with someone that is knowledgeable on how to read or prepare for that divorce settlement process.
Yes.
So I'm going to just talk about the basics of what you should start to do if you're thinking about getting a divorce. Especially if you're a woman and you're at home right now and you are in the house with this person, with the two of you, right? You kind of knew, I'm going to have to end this marriage.
Yeah.
So it wasn't you woke up one day like, all right, it's over. There was a process that happened. So you want to be able to prepare for that process. So as we think about having your team, I'm going to talk today about the things that you can start to do as a woman to prepare emotionally. And also, I'm sorry, to prepare financially. The first thing is work out those emotions that are tied to it. You have to separate those so that as you are thinking about your future, you can do it with a clear mind, because sometimes you just want it to be over. Yeah. And so many of your decisions are about, I just want to end this. And so many women will think about it later. Hey, you know what? I didn't think that through. And they'll have to go back to court to renegotiate some things. So the first tip is get your emotions in check. Think about what you want your future to look like after the divorce, not just the first year, not just the year five, but 10 years down the line. If you have children, that's going to look different than if you are single, right? Because with your children, their ages, are they in private school? What are the extracurricular activities? What does tuition look like in the next 5 to 10 years? Divorce can have a huge impact on your standard of living, and not always in a good way. So according to the Institute for Women's Policy and Research, in 2018, women's earnings were 81.6% of men's. So basically, women in general typically make 18% less for the same work as men. It sucks, right?
It is. I mean, like, and that's a whole other conversation, girl.
Right. It just makes me angry. If you're Hispanic or Black, if you're a Black
woman, it's even less.
So you get a divorce, the problem with that pay gap becomes very obvious, right? Yep. So if you have kids and they live with you, the problem is worse. So for example, maybe you had two incomes, you brought in $80,000 a year together for a four-person household. But after the divorce, you might have $50,000 a year to live on for a three-person household. So you have to start to think about it for that in that regard. And the first thing you need to do is create a budget. Now, when I work with women, nobody wants to talk about creating a budget. They are overwhelmed. They are like, you have to get organized. Yeah. And you have to start there. You have to know
Creating a budget is so intimidating, I know, for a lot of people. I mean, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but it is intimidating.
And though that's one of the first things that you have to do. So as a financial coach, there are resources and people that'll do it. You know, there are tons of tips on the internet, but if you maybe need someone to help create one for you, but you have to know how much you spend. That is key, not just your mortgage and your utilities or your car note. Those are obvious. Your groceries, your health insurance. Does your child have a specific prescription that costs X amount for a rare, you know, thing, skin, whatever? And not just, you know, your trips to Starbucks or Target. You know, people think about a budget like that. But it's really looking about, all right, how much are you spending? Where's your money going? What are your subscriptions? When you think about your future, will I have to make some adjustments? Mm-hmm. Will I have to change my standard of lifestyle? will I have to move, right? Will my income after the divorce support living in this home? So those are things you have to start to think about at first. Get organized, and it's not to get discouraged. So some women will start that process and they will stay because they'll get afraid and think that they cannot do it on their own, but they absolutely can. And that's where it is key to start to think about it in that regard. So get organized, pull your bank statements, pull your credit card statements. I've heard stories of women who don't always have access to that information. Maybe their husbands control the finances. So women, you got to get a little bit creative now.
Yeah.
You know, we are masters at figuring things out. And this is when we might have to get creative. So if you're listening to this and maybe you need to leave a relationship because, you know, your husband may be abusive or maybe they are controlling. And so you don't know where everything is. You need to start thinking about it. You need to start when the mail comes in, you can't open it, but take a picture of it so that as you're having those conversations, you can say, hey, you know, I see a Charles Schwab statement come in every quarter. There's an account there, and start thinking about some of that stuff. Also, as you're preparing, pulling all of your financial records, start, and also your credit report, pull that. Right? All your statements, your credit report, your wills, any of those documents, start creating a binder of all of that stuff so that when you get to the point that you are ready, you can have everything together. I think it will make your discovery process much easier and it may save you some money in the long run. So that's my first tip for any woman that's considering it.
Let me ask you this, because as I listen, I'm overwhelmed by everything.
Yeah.
Pull your credit report, pull this, get your wills, get that. What do you say to these women when they do feel scared and overwhelmed?
Yeah.
Like, how do you encourage them to keep on?
So the first thing that I do is you're not doing it all at once. So I'll just say, create a checklist, right? When your bank statement comes in, file it. Pull your credit report. You know, you get it free from annualcreditreport.com. You don't have to pay for it. You get it free. Pull it, file it. If you're considering divorce and if everything is together, right, I suggest create a new email account specifically for your records. Okay. That way you don't have to dig through everything. You have everything in this one email that is separate, and just start setting yourself up. So it's not to be overwhelming. It's just part of getting yourself organized initially. You may have to create new email accounts. You may have to get a new phone, right? I don't know what the steps are as you're preparing for divorce, but it's really get organized and take your time in doing it. And during that time, you can start to also have conversations with your spouse, right? Not that it is in a way, especially if you haven't told your spouse that you're considering divorce yet, but sit down and say, and if there were an emergency, how would I access the bank accounts? Mm. You know, start to have those conversations so that you are empowered with the knowledge. Yeah. If there were in case of emergency, how would I find out about the investment accounts that you have at your job? Who owns those? You know, what's the name of the management company? Just start to have those regular conversations so that it will help you to not feel so confused and it would also empower you as you're preparing for that process.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I think that's really what it's about. I'm hearing you say empower. And, you know, becoming empowered. And I would hope that instead of women looking at it as something to be fearful of, which, of course, we know, because, you know, going through the divorce process or even considering divorce it's very frightening because, like you said, you don't know what's on the other side of that. You are afraid and because you don't know what to expect. And like, you've gotten to a certain point of comfort, you know, But if you, I think if you take it from, okay, yes, I can be afraid, but I can still move forward, because me, yeah, being, me moving forward is being empowered. I'm empowering, yep, myself.
Yep. That is it. And not to feel so alone, right? Because divorce, again, can be emotional and you're already kind of going through this thought process, but start to just take some time to empower and get organized and prepare yourself for that process. Start thinking about it from just learning finances can be overwhelming, right? Especially for a woman that wasn't involved in it initially. So just start learning about it. All right. Is my income, especially if I'm a professional, do I have enough income to support my expenses? If not, what will I need? Will I need alimony? Will I need child support? Will I need my, you know, additional insurance? What are the things that you'll need as a woman to continue on after the dissolution of this marriage? And it may be different, right, for every unique scenario. So that's why it's important to really sit down and have those conversations with yourself. If I'm single, I have no, we don't share any assets, then I can walk away fancy free, right? I may not need anything from him other than let's just move on.
Yeah.
If we have children, or if we have property, or even in, depending on the state that you live in, that those rules may be different. So that's why it's really important to just start to think about that stuff and not to overwhelm yourself. But even, you know, another tip, you may have to move. So start just randomly looking on Zillow. What do homes cost in specific areas? If I have to move, where will I go? And start getting those kind of things in your head so that you will know. And when the process, otherwise, when divorce happens, you're not feeling like your whole world has rocked and you don't know what to do next. Okay. So that's, those are a couple of things that I would suggest. And I, you know, there is one other, I talked to a couple of women, and I've just heard from women, right, where sometimes you, you know, your spouse may be overprotective or controlling. You might have to, come on, ladies, you might have to get a new, in addition to a new email, you might have to get a separate phone.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to change as you are running your credit, or, you know, you may have to start to separate your accounts. And if you do that, you may have to get another bank account, right? Do you want those statements coming to your home? Those are some things that you can start to do once you recognize that you're going to have to leave your relationship. And it's not to be sneaky, right? It doesn't mean that you are doing anything that will jeopardize your divorce proceedings. It is just, if all of your money is together, how do I begin to start thinking about separating my finances?
Right.
That's another question and just something to think about.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka DanaMike781, across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platforms. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
I'm hearing you talk about like credit and stuff. So I do have a question around that. If you were married and or are married and, you know, say your spouse's credit is terrible, but now you're wanting to forward and kind of, you know, start your own, how do you work on that part? Like, because I would assume that you would have to rebuild your credit from that, or like, can you speak to that?
That's such an important question, because often in marriage, you and your spouse may have joint accounts, mm-hmm, and you may have debt attached, mm-hmm, to that, both of your names. So running your credit report, and well, that's why it is key to run, mm-hmm, your credit report. You need to be able to identify the debt that you have on your own versus the debt that you have together. Okay. That is key, any joint debt, because that's really the basics of your credit. And you have to start to think about ways to build your credit. So again, if you're a stay-at-home mom, maybe you don't really have any credit because your husband had all the credit cards and he had you as an authorized signer. That could be to your advantage because an authorized signer doesn't mean that you are actually on the card as it's on your credit. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But the first step is run your credit. Understand what's on it. If you have to rebuild your credit, recognize, all right, I'm essentially ending my marriage and I'm going to have to rebuild. And part of your divorce may be discussing ways to pay off debt, right? If you have a home, maybe you need to sell that home and use the proceeds to pay off debt, which will help you to improve or rebuild your credit. Many women who go through divorce will have to go through a credit rebuilding process, and that's part of it, especially if you share joint debt. You may have to close those joint accounts, pay off some debt, and rebuild. It's not the end of the world, but it's very, very important to start to think about those things. And rebuilding your credit is paying it off, paying your bills on time, and keeping your debt utilization low. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the three things that you have to start to think about.
I was just going to say, Stephanie, you hit on the other question that I was going to follow up with in terms of what if you were in a situation where you were, you didn't really have access to anything. Maybe you got mm-hmm. very young and didn't have an opportunity to build credit. So thank you for talking about that.
Yeah. And, you know, some women don't have any credit, right? So maybe they got married young. They never bought a home. They didn't have a car loan, no student loans or whatever. And maybe you're going to be in a situation where you have to establish some credit. And one thing that you can do, again, if you're thinking about divorce and you don't have any credit and you need to start establishing some, get a secure credit card. There are many companies, I think Capital One has one, Chase may have one, and a secured credit card is essentially you put cash up front and they allow you to use your credit card, and it's really a secured credit card, but that is a way to begin to start to build your credit, especially if you don't have any.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Important.
Mm-hmm. It is. Sorry, Sharice, go ahead.
What I was going to say is what I love about what you're sharing with us is that not only is it relevant for people who might be thinking about divorce, but this is good for people who are in a relationship thinking about marriage or even in their marriage. Like, these are tips and tools you can implement now.
Absolutely. And I tell many people, I just did a budgeting workshop on Thursday, and I shared some tips on how to have money dates, right? So when divorce is, well, finances is one of the number one reasons that people get divorced. Let's just start there, right? Yeah. We don't manage our finances well. You get on my nerve. We're not paying our bills on time. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Come on, we right? So we talk about, or I talk about, you need to have money dates. Set up a routine where you sit down with your spouse. How is our budget working? How are you feeling about what we're doing? What goals do we have? What do we need to start saving for? What events are coming up, right? I am a fan for automation. I'm a fan for if you are in a household, I'm a fan of a married couple having their individual accounts and a bill operating account. Anything related to your home gets paid out of that centralized account, and you automate things so that you know what's coming in, you know what's going out, and everyone has full transparency of it. Those individual accounts are for your personal money. So I don't want to know when my husband wants to surprise me. Hopefully he wants to occasionally, and I don't want to know, like, you ordered something on 1-800-Flowers. So your individual accounts are for the things that you want to do that are just, you know, for Stephanie or for, you know, my husband. So that's important. But having that centralized account is key, right? And you do that for savings as well. And that helps to make sure that you can have those conversations, because everyone has emotions tied to money, mm-hmm, period. Mm-hmm. Whether good, bad, or indifferent, you know, we have those emotions that are tied to how we make money, how we manage our money, or the lack of either. So yeah, it's just key. Yeah.
That's good. I love that you mentioned that in terms of, you know, having money dates, because yes, this podcast is called The Optimistic Divorcees, but we do not advocate for divorce. Okay. If you're in a marriage, we hope that you work it out. And uh-huh, if finances, you know, are an issue, I think that's a great way to open up the conversation or begin to have dialogue, you know, with your spouse about money, maybe any issues that you have, or maybe like what you're doing isn't working. So coming up with new ways for, you know, you all to work out your financial issues or gain clarity around, yep, it. Yeah. So I love that. The other thing I wanted to say was, I remember like when I was married, well, two things I want to say about this. But when I was married,
come on, let's go.
When I was married, like there was a point where I wasn't working. And so he basically was the breadwinner, and I had to go to him to, you know, ask for things, you know, whether it was groceries or I needed to get my hair done, or, you know, I needed to get an oil change, things like that. And I remember like when I got a job, I was like, okay, I'm never doing that again. Because, and not to say, hey, everyone has their own situation. If that works for you, that's fine. But for me, I felt like I didn't really have any autonomy or like any freedom when it, mm-hmm, came to making those decisions, you know, in terms of what I wanted to do with certain things. Even if it was just like splurging myself, if I wanted to, you know, get my nails done, or wanted to buy something cute for myself. And so when I landed a job, that was the one thing that I did. I made sure that, you know, I had my own little separate account.
Yeah.
And, you know, that way I had access to money, and I didn't have to be solely, you know, just kind of depending on him for things that I wanted to do for myself. So, I mean, like I said, that was just how I did it. I know some people might not believe in that whole notion, but me, myself personally, I kind of like the idea of, you know, having a joint account where you are able to take care of things regarding the household, regarding the family. And then, hey, you got your thing, I got my thing, and it's all good from there.
And I think it's such, wasn't it a freeing experience? So you just felt empowered when you had something of your own. And even if you're a stay-at-home mom and you don't work, but one recommendation is have a line item in the budget each month for you, right? Mm-hmm. As a woman, so that you don't have to go to them and say, hey, I want to do this, that, or the other, because you absolutely deserve to be, you know, able to do the things that you want to do. Just as an adult, and even if you're not working, you're still an equal partner in the relationship. So, I agree. And you know,
go ahead,
Charisse. I think she was going to say something.
No, I thought, Shari, didn't you say you had two things to say?
Well, I kind of combined them, so it was like 1A and B.
And you know what? I'll say I'll never forget. I know both of you, you know, you have backgrounds in the church, so you'll appreciate this story. I lived in Memphis for many, many, many years, and Church of God in Christ used to have a huge conference in Memphis each year. I don't know where it is now. And Bishop G.E. Patterson was a huge figure there. And I don't recall what event that I was in, and I wish that I could remember the name of the evangelist who spoke. But she was a renowned woman. I'm young, maybe 25, mm-hmm, 26, and I'm at the service. She stands up and she tells her life story about, you know, being a first lady and all of the responsibilities that she had. And if she could give women one advice, she would say, put something to the side for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And she said it took her many, many years in her marriage. She was always dependent on her husband, and you know, she loved her husband, appreciated her relationship, But when he passed, and I cannot remember the name of her husband either, I should have remembered, but I was young, right? It was almost, you know, 15 years ago. But when he passed, she did not feel empowered because she did not put much to the side for herself. So make sure, even if you don't have anything in your name, right, start setting up some accounts for yourself that are separate from him, right? Not saying do anything that might jeopardize your marital proceedings, but have an account, work a part-time job, do some things like you mentioned, Shari, have your own income, and then just start trying to put something to the side for yourself so that you can feel empowered. After that, that was just such great advice that she gave. I'll never forget that. She's like, ladies, especially my young ladies, always put something to the side for yourself.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram, it's faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
So what else you got for us, Stephanie? What other tips do you have?
So one question that Shari had sent over that I wanted to talk about is, so what happens, any advice on how to amicably discuss financial separation with your soon-to-be ex? And I thought that was such a great question, because many times as you're thinking about divorcing, it's wonderful if you can sit down with your spouse and or your soon-to-be spouse and start to really think about and discuss some of those things. And I would first recommend, after you start having those conversations with your spouse, start preparing yourself by speaking with a financial advisor that specializes in divorces, or even a divorce attorney, because each situation is unique. And really, if you can avoid court, by all means, try to avoid it. And I think you both can probably attest to that. Sometimes the court process can be drawn out, especially if you have children. Another thing, in your relationship, if you're civil, if your spouse can be reasonable, or are they going to make it an all-out fight? Because those are some things that you can think about as you start testing the waters with the divorce conversations and with those financial discussions, right? Start to just kind of think about some things. If you own property, who gets to keep the home? If we have debt, how much debt do we have? Is it all joint debt or is it separate? Did any of it exist before marriage? Do you own any assets? Did you bring any assets into the marriage? Because those would be yours, right? Some people have trust that their families gave them, that they brought into the marriage. And so start to kind of think about and discuss those things. Alimony or spousal support. Think about the lifestyle that you want to live, right? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle post-divorce? Or are you going to have to make some changes? Where do you live? Will you have to, when you go back to the property situation, I find that many women want to keep their home, especially if they have children, because it gives a sense of normalcy. But that may not always be the best decision financially. And that's why it is key to get someone on your team who can help you to balance the emotional versus the rational. I always think cash is king. So as you're thinking about what your next steps are, having conversations with your spouse, think about, do I want to have the asset? Assets are wonderful. It's wonderful to have your big, beautiful home. But how much is that house worth? Because you might want to have the cash. You might want to be able to put some money in the bank. You might want to be able to start saving for, you know, whatever your children might need to help them go through that process as well. So those are just some things to think about. Is your divorce going to be simple? Maybe you can file online. You probably still want to meet with an attorney. Maybe you can have a cooperative process. Maybe you can go through mediation, but it starts with really sitting down, talking to your spouse. If it is not a civil situation and you may have to go through the court process, preparing yourself for that. But really taking care of yourself, that starts first. Developing a team, getting organized. If you don't have access to the records, start again having those side conversations. Hey, what would happen if something happened to you? How would we get through this? What would the children do? Do you have a will? Did you develop a trust or any? Did you do any type of estate planning as a couple? If so, sit down and start having those conversations about how you're going to divide up anything that was, written out in that estate plan. Those are some things that are so key. And women, you know, we don't always want to have those conversations because those are tough, right? Yeah. And a lot of women aren't as confident with their finances, but research shows that we manage it better because we're detail oriented. Mm. So a lot of times it's just building the confidence, and it starts with just, if you're a woman and you're thinking about it, just create a budget. Just start with writing out how much you're spending and tracking it. Know your net worth. Mm. Net worth, everyone, is just the difference between your assets and your liabilities. Do your personal financial statement and know exactly, all right, what is everything that I own? Do I own a house? Do I own a car? How much cash do I have in a bank? Do I have any jewelry? What's the value of these items, right? Mm-hmm. And then know your debt. So I own a house, I have a mortgage, right? I own a car, I may have a car note. Do you have student loan debt? Figure out where you are on your net worth. Many people don't know their net worth, and it is a financial number that will help you, and you'll need that as you are moving into the divorce process, because they're going to do a financial settlement. They're going to go through that discovery process, and they're calling it a balance sheet, but it's essentially going to calculate your net worth. So those are some things that women can start to do, and you can do that as a couple. All right, husband, let's sit down and let's do our financial statement together. Where are we? And that's a great way to decide, all right, so this house, this debt, who keeps it, right? Because you keep the house, you keep the debt. So All of those things are key. Do we have two cars? All right. Are we keeping both cars, or whose name is on each car? All of those things. It's like a puzzle, and putting it all, it's all together right now. And you actually have to separate it and figure out how you're going to maintain your life after that. So yeah.
This is the ultimate adulting right here.
It is adulting at its finest. But as women, start doing that now, right? So I am a fan of, and it's so funny because in a relationship, most people kind of know their strengths. I'm the saver. My husband's the spender. So I can get on his nerves because in my mind, I would be like, oh, we have this money in the bank, but we don't, you know, we have it in the bank, but in my mind, we don't have any money. And he'll be like, but we do. It's sitting right there. And I'm like, no, that's for an emergency. Mm-hmm. So, we can't touch that just randomly. Like it needs to be for an emergency. So I'm that meme that you'll see, like, I got $10,000 here, but if my checking account says 200, then all I have is 200. Like, that's me. And my husband, I know I get on his nerves. So I have to balance I have to balance that. But in your marriage, you may know who's the saver versus the spender. And it doesn't necessarily mean if you're the wife, you stay at home mom, or, you know, you're a professional, you may by nature still be the saver and just need to develop that financial confidence in order to do it. So, yes, it's adulting at its finest, but it's also like boss, right? It is like everybody talks about girl boss. And I'm like, yes, you a boss. You have to be a boss here as well, because when you walk away from that divorce table, you want to feel empowered. You want to be okay, especially if you have children or lives that you have to provide for, because you have to make sure they're okay. So this is the ultimate adulting, but the ultimate, like, you know what? Let me put on my big girl pants, because I got to make sure we're good after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, like, just kind of piggybacking off of that, talking about, you know, adulting, thinking about what you said in your last tip, it is like you have to also think about how you can't maintain the lifestyle that you're used to. You know what I mean? And again, that's adulting, realizing like, this is what I had before, this is what I have right now. Yeah. And I may not be able to maintain that same lifestyle. And I need to change my habits, my behaviors, my spending patterns. And just kind of know like, okay, I was working with the two, you know, I had two incomes and now I'm down to one. So can you speak to that a little bit more in terms of, now you may be, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. So, or you know, maybe you might need to get another job. Maybe. So can you share any tips that you have for kind of adjusting to that single household, you know, being a single parent, and just kind of some of those things that you might have to do to make it?
Oh, yeah. And that's such a great point, right? Because it is a transformation. It is a new normal. And the first tip is you have to face your reality. And you have two paths. Either you're going to fight it or you're going to embrace it. But the key is you have to realize that my life is changing. And that means I'm going to have to make some sacrifices. And it goes back to the point that I made. You have to know, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck, how are you spending your money? What are you doing? You may have to adopt some very, very, you know, strict processes for a while, right? Maybe you need to figure out your groceries, create some meals and talk to people who, you know, what are your budget friendly meals that you cook? Maybe I have to literally change, and I love shopping at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, but you know what? Aldi has great organic food, and I'm going to have to go shop at Aldi for a while. And, you know, these are basic things, but they're real life, right? Yeah. I may have to create a meal plan, and I love going to Mariano's, but I may have to go over here to Aldi and because I have to shop on a budget. Mm-hmm. And it's also
start clipping those coupons,
honey, clip them. Maybe you have to work a little overtime or find a side hustle. Can you bake? Are you a crafter? What's your passion? Maybe you can start talking to other women who are going through the process and become like a divorce coach or a speaker. But maybe you have tons of things from this divorce and you need to sell those on Facebook Marketplace. This is where the hustle can come out of you as well to make it, because it, with divorce, you have to just, you know, make it. And when you have that in your head, like, you know what, I have to make it. Mm-hmm. You cannot bury your head in the sand. You have to recognize that your lifestyle is changing. You also may have to have some conversations with your children. Divorce is a transition process. And many people want to try to keep a sense of, you know, stability for their children. So I'm going to keep my kids in soccer and dance and swim lessons, and they're still going to get their hair done and they're going to get new shoes every month. Some of that might have to change. And you might have to have conversations with your children as well, that these changes might be temporary, but these are things we're going to have to cut back on, right? So instead of all those things, maybe you let the kids decide, hey, do you want to still do soccer or swim and dance? Mm-hmm. Can you pick one of those? What's your favorite? And then we're going to cut back on the other things. But those are just, you have to recognize that you have to make some serious lifestyle changes. You have to create a budget, know exactly what's coming in, what's going out, and then identify and prioritize the things that are important to you. And everything else may have to just, you know, be put on hold for a while.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
I have two questions for you, Stephanie.
Okay.
Okay. So you mentioned, you know, building your team, and you mentioned a financial planner. So what does that usually cost? Because I know somebody might be like, but I don't have money to hire a financial planner.
That's such a good question, because part of your team can be a therapist. It can be, you know, your divorce attorney or someone that specializes in mediation. It could be a financial coach or a financial planner, and the costs vary. There are also tons of resources online that are free to help you to navigate the process. So the price may range depending on the complexities of your financial situation and depending on your needs. You may only need someone to help you for a couple of months with creating a budget and developing a money routine, because maybe your husband always managed the finances, so you don't know what to do. And that may be an investment of, you know, $400 to $1,500, depending on the complexities. Maybe you need actually a financial planner or an advisor and someone to help you set up investment accounts. Those things may be a bit more complex, but there are people who are fee-based, and then there are those who are not fee-based. So it kind of just varies, and it depends again on the financial needs of the person, their sophistication or their level of sophistication, and also there are free resources again that are available to help navigate many of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
My second question is, now this is something we usually hear in relation to movie stars or people who have a whole lot of money, a prenup agreement. But I've heard people say that it's important for regular people to have that. That's something that you deal with before marriage, but it can definitely affect, you know, you during a divorce. So what's your stance on having a prenup?
So I think that prenups can always be helpful. If you are going into a relationship and you and your loved one sit down and have a conversation about it, and everyone's on board with it, I think they can absolutely be helpful, especially if you have assets that you're bringing into the relationship. So at this stage of our lives, right, research is showing that many women and men are marrying older. Mm. So they have established careers, right? They may have investment accounts, or they may have been very, very successful before they actually married and got with their significant other. And that's where a prenup may be a helpful tool to have. And again, it depends on your relationship. You want to sit down and talk about it. I'm a favor of it, right? I think that it can help to reduce the amount of stress that the divorce process, if in the unfortunate event that you actually have to get divorced, it can help, right? Because you've already put a plan in place that the both of you agreed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question for you. I want to go back to you mentioning how you watched your mother rebuild. Are there any additional tips that you can share regarding that? Or what did you learn, you know, from that experience?
Listen.
In regards to like your finances and what is basically, I gotta do this.
Yeah. I learned at a very young age that you have to be prepared. I remember thinking, like, why did I light? Like, as a child, you don't know that you have to pay a light bill, right? Mm-hmm. You just know, like, why don't our lights work? And we have to go to our grandmother's house. Mm. So, you know, I remember my sister and I became latchkey kids. So again, we went from a two-parent household to, you know, we lived in Calumet Park and we had this big, beautiful home. And, you know, we had a dog with a wagon. And next thing you know, we had a two-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. And so it changed like this. And we went from my mother being able to afford after school care to my sister and I had to take the bus. I was in third grade and we would have to take the CTA bus.
Oh, wow. The real bus.
The real bus, not the school bus. The mm-hmm. CTA bus. I was third. My sister was fifth, from school to our apartment. And so I can only imagine now how the fear that my mother had. We even had, so any parents, you know, you have to do what you have to do. Yeah. We had a code because we were girls. And so I know now, like, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. she would be worried. And so we had a code. Every time we got home from school, she would call us and, is everything okay? And we'd be like, yes, mommy, everything's good. We're home. Well, we also had a code if things weren't okay. So let's just mm-hmm. say someone comes in the house behind her two daughters. Justine is okay. Justine was our Cabbage Patch doll. Mm. And so if she ever called us and we said, Justine is okay, that was her code to call 911 to say, okay, something's not right. So wow. I learned that as a mother, you have to do what's best for your children. And sometimes those things might be uncomfortable. And so she had to end up taking on two jobs because she needed to be able to provide for us when the loss of income happened. And it wasn't, you know, it was not her fault. Yeah. It wasn't that she wasn't necessarily prepared financially. It's just it happened so quickly in that instance that she had to just, you know, figure out how to make more income so she could provide for us. I learned communicate with your family. Mm. So part of your team, you know, divorce is hard, but you have to get support. And, you know, don't sit and allow shame or hurt and your emotions to eat you up. Communicate and ask for help from your community, from your village, and make sure you work that out with them. And also start making those plans. So one thing I started to see my mother do every pay period, I remember she had a spiral notebook and she would write out her budget. And we knew down to the dollar, every pay period, sometimes we would be able to go out to dinner if she had a little extra money. Sometimes we couldn't. And our treat may be, we're just going to get ice cream. But if you're a woman and you are separating, you have to start planning. Get your kids involved in it so that they know what's happening. Yeah. We would sit down together and she would have conversations with us about, you know, not too heavy because mm-hmm. we were still kids, but we would pray and she would still say, you know, we are going through a transition right now. And, you know, our situation was different because we didn't see our father often, right? There wasn't a custody battle, but she always made sure we acknowledged him. Mm. Buy him a birthday card, buy him a Christmas present. So we had a very deep faith.
Yeah.
My mother made sure we went to church and she would pray. But there was also that part where she had to kind of buckle up and she did have to work a couple of jobs. She also had a side hustle where she would sell dinners at the church. Okay. Like, ladies, you got to do what you got to do.
Yes.
Got to do what you got to do. But you have to start. And if you have to rebuild, she had to file bankruptcy. If you have to do that, ladies, you have to do it. And it's okay. Yeah. I think it's also recognizing with finances, you feel defeated. You already feel defeated if your marriage ends, and then you feel defeated if you can't provide financially. But I think recognizing that every financial mistake is fixable, and it is okay if you have to rebuild. If you have to file bankruptcy, file it, right? Mm-hmm. If you need to sell your home because you are underwater and you cannot afford it, sell it. Get the cash. You know, don't hold on to things that will bring you down simply because you have these emotions tied to it. Think about yourself in the long term and what you may need in the future. So,
right.
Those are my tips.
This yeah. was so, so good. I got so
it
much.
Was.
Out of this is
yay.
Good.
I think it's so important because women have to feel empowered and. Mm-hmm. When you are divorcing, oh, and I have one more tip, and this is for my digital people. And this one, ladies, I'm going to wrap up with it because I want us all to laugh. I'm an okay. iPhone user. But if you know, like, okay, ladies, I want everybody to tune in. If you know that your divorce is not going to be fair, right? Maybe it might be a little messy. So you have to just start preparing yourself for the mess. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember I listened to one of y'all, and one of you said, you know, y'all can be a little petty. Who was that? Somebody.
That's me.
Oh, that was sorry. This is for my petty ladies. Listen, this is for my ladies who may have to just, you know, make sure that they are in a position because maybe their spouse can match their petty, right? We in that. Mm-hmm. If you're an iPhone user, and you put your plans in your notes and maybe you and your husband, see, there are little things. Maybe you and your husband kind of, you know, share a plan or you have an iPad and they can see things. Switch it. become an Android. Have your iPhone for personal. Get you an Android and start putting your notes in there. Again, I told you, get your email account. Ladies, be about your business. Get you an Android and start putting all those tips, your notes, your pictures of the invoices that are coming in, of those accounts you don't have access to. That needs to be in the other phone. Yeah. Because you don't want your husband to be like, why do you have pictures of this, right? Again, just start thinking about some of that stuff, not to be sneaky, but also set yourself, be smart, right? When you sit down with your attorney, I don't know what all we have because, you know, he manages it all. This is 2021, ladies. We're going to know everything that is going on. Have a seat at the table, and that includes your own table in your own home. So
that's right.
Yeah. That's that.
That's the only time y'all should have an Android, okay?
That's it. Now I'm not listen. I'm just saying you gotta learn some new tools, okay? And keep it separate. And again, that is just so that you can be prepared as a lady. We plan our vacations right down to a T. We know what we're gonna do. We have our outfits. You have to plan your financial life just like that. You just need to know what's happening.
Yeah, I love it.
That is great. So wonderful, so timely. I'm so excited. I can't wait for everybody to hear this. And I just, I got a couple key words I got out of this. I got communication is key. Planning is key. Do what you got to do. Use what you got to get what you need and separate your emotions from what you got to do in regards to your finances.
That's it.
This and all of that is to empower you. And I love it.
Dropping gems.
I love it.
Stephanie over here dropping gems.
Yeah.
I am glad that I can help. Again, for women who are considering it, there is a new kind of innovative financial expert. They are called certified divorce financial analysts. You may be able to Google and find one in your area. I am not a certified divorce financial analyst. So I would recommend if you are at a position financially where you think you may need someone, find that person, right? If you just in a position where you want to start working on creating a budget so you can kind of get comfortable and maybe you don't know if you're going to go through a divorce, maybe you can kind of go through some processes and stay in your marriage, you can always work with someone like myself that's a financial coach to help you just develop financial confidence. So there are many, many resources available.
Great. Stephanie, go ahead and tell us where people can find you on the internet.
Thank you. So I am Masterpiece Financial Coaching on both Instagram and Facebook. I post content on personal finances. I believe that it needs to be simplified. So I just spend many of my posts are about simple things that you can do, simple tips. And I also host workshops. You'll see some of those if you follow me. Again, Masterpiece Financial Coaching on Instagram and Facebook.
And of course, we will link Stephanie's information in our show notes. We'll be sharing that information on our Instagram and Facebook pages. So if you want to connect with Stephanie, we will definitely make sure that you have the links available to do so.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Stephanie, girl, thank you so much. This has been awesome. Like I said, I think it's really timely and it's much needed information for people who may be considering or, you know, just may not know where to start or want to be able to have these discussions, you know, with their spouse. Like, your marriage is fine, but you want to be able to have those types of discussions to talk about your finances. All of that you have covered. So
thank you. And that's it, right? It's just about being prepared either way. So I'm glad I was able to share. And thank you guys for understanding. Everything that could have happened technology-wise happened. Thank you for laughing with me. Thank you for adding in my petty tip. You know, that was my tip for the petty ladies like myself, you know, like to be a I can match it, you know.
Right.
So
like, yes. I I see your petty and I'm going to raise it.
Okay? I'm going to raise it. But thank you guys.
Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees. We hope that you all enjoyed it, that you found it to be helpful and empowering. And if you have any questions or, you know, want to suggest topics again, feel free to email us at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Optimistic about life, real about love. Ooh. See, I've been through it. Hard times in love, I admit it. But I won't quit. You better believe. See, I'll always try. I'll always try.